Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is it. The time has come.
Saturday night's all right for fighting.
Push him down.
Get in the ring and go the distance with Fight Night with Gareth A. Davies.
You're better than that.
On Talk Sport.
You're listening to the Fight Night podcast with me, Gareth Davies, Spencer Oliver, in the studio with me this week. We began on this week's podcast by talking about the possibility of a big Wembley event. Could Anthony Joshua be involved? Would it take place in September? And we got the announcement of the undercard for Fury versus Usyk in Saudi Arabia on May the 18th. Spencer and I discussed. We've been all week around Wardley and Clark and this big card at the O2 Arena. We're there tomorrow night, live, by the way. 6:30, 6 o'clock on TalkSport 2, 8:30 on TalkSport 1. Myself, Spencer, John Rawling and Adam Smith is joining me as co-presenting. It's going to be a fantastic night. We'll get into that as the show emerges. But first of all, this week, a special event may be announced for Wembley Stadium later this year. We're looking at September. Will we see, I'm going to you on this because you're on the AJ Anthony Joshua WhatsApp group, will he fight at Wembley again? Earlier this week, His Excellency Turki Alal Sheikh, the chairman of the Riyadh season, and we know what's been happening there with boxing, he, the General Entertainment Authority that he chairs as well, responsible for staging boxing in Riyadh, first disclosed the possibility of a huge show at England's National Stadium. The idea would be to use the event as an advertisement for more boxing to follow in Saudi Arabia as part of the opening of the Riyadh season last year. Last year, it was Battle of the Baddest, Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou. Look what that created. Wembley event. You seemed to me to be on the money earlier this week. It all made sense what you were saying. Let the listeners know again what your inclination is going to be for that.
Yeah, so, you know, I said to you that I think that I could see AJ possibly topping the bill at Wembley Stadium. I believe that that's where it was. You know, I think that, you know, I think that Frank Warren has hinted at that, that there's a possibility there's a five versus five. We will get that in September. Wembley Stadium seems to be
Chapter two.
Wembley Stadium seems to be the front runner. That'll be the opening of Riyadh season. We know what's going on out in Saudi Arabia, you know, the investment of the Saudi Arabia into boxing, which has been absolutely phenomenal. You know, they're doing a great job there. But how good, Gareth, how good is it that they are actually bringing big-time boxing back here as well? Because that was what the fans were worrying about. We were going to lose the big shows here. We were going to lose the stadium fights. Well, guess what? They're coming back September.
It's a great move. In this first section, we're going to talk about the undercard announced for Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk. That's May the 18th, of course. We're going to go through that in a minute. I want to ask you, first of all, just on that note, we're going to hear from Moses Atauma in a minute as well. Do you think we'll see Joshua fight at Wembley in September? And is your inclination, you were talking about the IBF title that might become released after Fury and Usyk fight. Do you think Joshua's going to become a three-time world champion?
Definitely, and I've said this all along, you know, and I've had a strong feeling about this. I've always believed in AJ, even when the chips were down, when the confidence was low. Now he's bounced back. He's had a great year. Last year, he's had four contests. The momentum is back. You know, I think the inconsistency was affecting his performances. Now he's got that consistency back. He's got that confidence back, that self-belief back. That puts him back at the top of the tree. Do I believe that he'll become IBF world champion again? Yes, and like you said there, I think that once that undisputed happens, the IBF then becomes vacant. I can see Filip Hrgović boxing Daniel Dubois for the vacant IBF title. I can see the winner of that boxing Anthony Joshua, and I believe that will land in Wembley. That's the roadmap.
Fantastic stuff. Well, not everyone agrees with you, because heavyweight prospect Moses Itauma, 19 is he already? 19, looking to be the youngest heavyweight champion in the world, joined the Drive show this week. He said, and this doesn't agree with you, that he doesn't understand why everyone's raving about Anthony Joshua again. Listen to this.
I'm not hating on anyone, but he's boxed Otto Wallin and Ngannou. They're like the performances where he's looked like very good, and they're not really like strong. No, but obviously he was a former sparring partner of Otto Wallin was one of his sparring partners before. And Ngannou, like, no disrespect, but he was an MMA fighter. So you kind of, when you go into the ring with someone familiar, like, you don't really have, like, any nerves to get hit. So you go in there full steam ahead. And I feel like that's why AJ's looked good. I think that's the mentality, obviously, that he took into the fight. And it's just made him look better. Obviously, I do feel like he has improved. He's been looking very good. But I just feel like that's because it's the switch of the mentality.
Mr. Moses Itauma talking it up already. 19, wants to beat Mike Tyson's record as the youngest heavyweight ever. He's got till May next year to do it. He's fighting Ilja Mezenchev at heavyweight on the undercard of Fury versus Usyk in Riyadh at the Kingdom Stadium on May the 18th. That card's now been announced. Jaya Pitaya Maris Bradis, Joe Cordina, Anthony Kakache, Agit Kabayel fighting Frank Sanchez, Mark Chamberlain, who's one of His Excellency's favourite fighters, against Joshua Oluwasowin, and Sergei Kovalev is back. It's a great card. It's very interesting. Pick a good fight out of that.
I love the Oppertire Bradis 2 fight. The first one was phenomenal. It went right
IBF
down to the
cruiserweight title.
Cruiserweight title went right down to the wire. The first one, Oppertire won that one. Broke his jaw in the process. Won that by split decision. But boy, that was value for money. If we get much of the same on that one in the return, by the way, I think Oppertire wins that one clearer this time. I think he's got the momentum with him. Bradis hasn't really been boxing too much, and I think that will affect the outcome of this fight. But what a fight that is! I mean, if we get anything like the first one, we're in for a real treat.
Well, quick on the back of that, joining us to discuss all those things, Hall of Fame promoter Frank Warren. Take a listen to this.
I'll get a bit annoyed with some of the sports, you know, or boxing writers or sports writers, whatever they class themselves as, who keep having pops at the sport, you know, talking about, you know, it's a sleazy sport and this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen. And they use us, as, I think, as whipping boys sometimes, or they think they can. But the fact of the matter is, fights are being made, and they're being made regularly. And a lot of it is obviously down to the fact that the Riyadh season and His Excellency Turki Alışık, who we work with very closely, has enabled us to get some of these events on. And two of the fights you just mentioned, Tyson Fury's and Usyk's unification for the heavyweight, all the heavyweight belts, and the Bevatiev and Bivol fight for all the light heavyweight fights are taking place in Riyadh on the 18th of May and the 1st of June. The other two fights, one's in the States, and then the other one with Inouye is taking place in Japan. So it's on, it's in different countries. And the fights are being made, and they're big selling fights. There's no doubt about that. So the sport's in quite healthy condition, a very healthy condition, and there's more to be made. And I think Haney only recently gave up the belts, didn't he? He was another unified champion. So these events are being made, and they're being made on a more regular basis now, and that's brilliant. And As I say, I get a little bit annoyed, as I said to you at lunch, Gareth, and to the other guys and ladies, that it's just so frustrating for certainly for me when I've been in the sport for many, many years. I'm into my fifth decade in the sport, and it's just really, you know, it's really good time for boxing, and lots of things are happening, and we should be embracing it and not keep having a pop at it and finding stupid reasons or stupid, trying to denigrate things.
Absolutely, that's the right word, denigrating, Frank. He doesn't deserve it.
No, trying to find a fault, even if it's not with the fight.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Frank,
it's ridiculous.
One of the things everyone's got really excited about, and I quote you, I will be taking a megaphone to Brentwood. I'll be driving to Brentwood with a megaphone to wind up Eddie Hearn when I beat him. Lovely quote this week. Now, you've always been rivals with the Hearns, but at the moment you're working together, but you're also working against each other, and I love the irony. And you're very confident that you're going to win the war. Two heavyweight fights, light heavyweight, middleweight, and featherweight. Everyone's very excited about it. It's unprecedented. Again, it's classical. The rules are different. There's a point system. Someone's going to come out on top. You're talking about a second chapter potentially at Wembley in September. When are we going to know who the five versus five are?
It all will be revealed on the 15th of April here in London, and you will then obviously it will be revealed, and I promise you they are very, very exciting fights. Lots of speculation going on, but these will be very, very, very competitive fights.
Yeah, Frank, you said that, you know, the sport is in a very healthy place right now with all these bouts that are being made. And, you know, a lot of that is to do with Saudi Arabia and their investment and whatnot. But as you just said there, you know, there is a possibility of this five versus five going on in the UK as well, possibly Wembley. I mean, that is great for the sport, isn't it?
Well, we haven't decided what's going on at Wembley yet. We've got an idea of the format of it, and that will obviously be revealed in due course. But the Wembley show will be a Riyadh-style show. And what I mean by that is that it will be used as a commercial for the start of the Riyadh season in October. And the fact that investment is being made will mean that we could put a show on that we wouldn't normally be able to do, because we'd be restricted by the finance. So that's great. So we've got it will be a mega, mega show, one of these mega shows, which is great for the fans, and it's happening here. That's besides all of the other fights that are going on, obviously, in the UK.
Sure.
It will be something extra special, I promise you.
Sure, it's a fantastic time for boxing, it really is. And like you said, you've been in this sport for five decades. Would you say this is the strongest that boxing's ever been?
Look, I can go back to the sort of the 70s when I first got involved. Looking back at those fights that took place, those great heavyweight fights, those great middleweight and welterweight fights, all those fantastic names that I certainly grew up with, and that was a very strong period. And I think we're sort of getting into a really, really strong period here. You know, all the top fighters now are fighting each other. And that's what we want to happen. And it has happened over the years, but it's happening with more frequency now because, obviously, the rewards are there for the guys to take.
Can we ask you about the heavyweight division right now? One of the things that I've been very excited about in the last... I mean, you mentioned the May the 17th fight. We'll come to Fury and Usyk in a minute, and we'll ask you about Tyson Fury. But we've got that, and we've got heavyweight fights on the 5x5 card on June the 1st when the light heavyweights meet in Riyadh, Bivol and Beterbiev, as you rightly say. But in the space of five events, the jiggling, the moving, the shaking in the heavyweight division, literally at the moment, you could kind of say, this is my top four, Fury, Usyk, Joshua, Parker. You could literally put the other top 16 in the world in a hat and pull them out like an FA Cup final with names on them, names on balls, and you could have eight amazing heavyweight fights. I can't remember a time, Frank, when everyone I meet is talking about the top 20 in the heavyweight division.
I agree with that, and that's a fact. You can do that, and also what is happening? Guys are getting beat and coming back, and then beating the guy that beat the guy. So, you know, you look at the sort of the free fighters with three fighters involved in fights like Wilder. You look at Parker, as you mentioned. You look at Joe Joyce. And it's like, you know, one beat one, the other one beat the other one. And, you know.
It's a merry-go-round, isn't it, really? It's a merry-go-round.
It's like a Super League, really, for the heavyweights, isn't it, Frank? Like, you know, a loss doesn't determine that they're then out of the game.
No.
They still got an opportunity to come back again, because that's what you're creating, the best fighting the best, which means the two losers, effectively, can still fight because they're two great fighters.
Frank, in four events' time, who's going to be the man of the era?
I think he is I think he's the best heavyweight of his generation already. And I believe Tyson will cement his legacy.
I've heard you mention this week, you might have said it at the lunch, but I know you've said it in maybe interviews on Box Nation, on congratulations on getting that YouTube channel and the station going again, by the way, with young Umar Ahmed, who's a fantastic interviewer, by the way. And congratulations, by the way, on all the things that are going on. Not just the Magnificent Seven, Warren Boxing Management doing York Hall, small hall shows. Listen, I'm vibrant about it at the moment. Can I ask you, you've said this week you believe that Fury will stop Usyk, he'll go after him in the fight. Could you elucidate on that more?
Well, I just feel that, you know, styles make fights, and they're very astute fighters, both of them. Usyk's got an unbelievable pedigree as amateur world champion, Olympian, Olympic world champion, cruiserweight and heavyweight, and as a professional, undefeated, same as Tyson's undefeated. And Tyson's a two-time heavyweight world champion, having beaten, I believe, the fighter of his generation in Klitschko, went to Germany. He's adopted his adopted country and done a job there on him, and then went off to the States and done the same thing on Deontay Wilder. He's the guy to beat, and obviously a lot of people at the moment feel, because of Usyk's two wins that he had over Joshua, that he may have the beating of Tyson, and they may look at Tyson's last performance against Ngannou and feel that there is some weakness there. Maybe Usyk feels that way. But they know each other. They will study each other backwards. But I just feel that Tyson is more able. I think he's a bigger guy. I think he, and I generally do think that the pace he'll set will be a problem for Usyk. And I feel that he will expose some weaknesses that I've always felt were there anyway, but no one's been able to exploit. For various reasons, a lot of it complaining to referees when he gets clips to the body. But I just feel that Tyson will beat him, and I feel he will stop him, and I think he'll stop him mid-fight.
Yeah, this is where I'm at with that, Frank, where Oleksandr Usyk has always had the boxing IQ over his opponents, and he works his opponents out, and he's done that with Joshua. He's done that a couple of times with Joshua. What Tyson Fury has got is great boxing IQ, and he's got that adaptability. He's changed his style. Where he used to move around a lot and utilise the ring a lot, he now stands and holds his ground a lot more, but he's very smart with it. He feints a lot, and that's why I go with Fury on winning that fight as well, because I think adaptability is key here, and that's why I think he wins. The question I want to ask you, Frank, is, do we get it twice? Are they going again? Is there an immediate rematch with this? And obviously, if it goes one way and the other, could we have it three times?
Look, there is a rematch clause, and these guys are getting paid significant sums of money, and I'm sure the loser will want to dance again, and I'm sure the loser will call the rematch, which will be his right.
Couple of other things, Frank, very quickly. TalkSport are live at Wardley and Clark. Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark tomorrow night. Very important fight for both men. Wardley has looked very good, 16 knockouts in 17 as a pro. Fraser Clark, 6 knockouts in 8, maybe hasn't had his moment yet. I just want to get your opinion on that fight tomorrow night.
Well, I was quite impressed with Fabio when he fought David Adelaide. You know, the fight started off, and I thought Adelaide started well, but he just stuck to his task, and obviously beat David Stockton. He's obviously a tough guy. He comes from an unlicensed background.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know all about that, Frank.
Yep, I certainly do. But he's a tough guy. Whereas, you know, Fraser comes from an Olympian background. You know, as a really, really great great amateur record. And as you say, he's had 8 fights and 6 stoppages. I think this we're going to find out what Fraser Clark's all about in this fight. That's how I see it. But Fabio, he's a tough guy, and he can punch. And it's going to be a very, very interesting fight. One thing's for sure, I've spoken with Fabio's connections, because we were quite close to doing a deal and they really wanted this fight. And cut a long story short, they fancy it. They fancy the fight in a big way. So it's going to be very interesting.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, next up, another massive promotional name. Dennis Hobson's been in the sport 3 decades. Famously, of course, with Clinton Woods, Ricky Hatton and many, many others. Carl Thompson as well. Sheffield Steel, Dennis Hobson. We talked about his highs, no lows, because he loves the sport. And also, next weekend, Fight Zone and TalkSport unite to redefine the world of boxing entertainment. Yep, there's a deal. It's going to be live on TalkSport next Saturday night.
Tell you what, Dennis, you've had an incredible career, mate, over 30 years. And some of the names there, you've got like Ricky Hatton, who Gareth mentioned, Clinton Woods, David Haye, Cole Thompson, Jamie McDonald, wow. Stuart McDonald, wow. Hannah Rankin. I mean, the list goes on. That's just a sum. That's just, we tipped the iceberg there, Gareth. I mean, this guy's been around forever and still going so strong.
Tell us about it, Dennis. Tell us about that journey a little bit.
There's a story. I don't know how long you've got, but, you know, I think being a scrap metal dealer, and I had a few amateur fights, and I played football as a semi-pro, and I think being able to wheel and deal, and I always could add up. I hardly went to school, and I were always good at maths, and I could, and I think it were adding my dad's betting slips up that made me good at maths. And so I always pretty sharp with the numbers. And the scrap metal, being able to wheel and deal. And I think going into purse bids with, you know, your Don Kings and your Goosens and your Bob Arams and people like that. And I think all that stood me in good stead, and being able to, I mean, I once tossed a coin with Frank Warren double acquits for 50 grand, and that was trying to put the Calzaghe Clinton Woods thing together. So it's just been an amazing journey, and I'm sure, knowing you two, and obviously I followed your career, Spencer, and admired you so much, and we ended up being really, really good pals, and that's what a great thing. That's why I can't walk away, because I meet great people like yourselves, and like I've told you before, Gareth, you always given me time of day as a top journalist, where years and years ago, when I was just trying to make it, and I always hung on to that. I thought, if a fella like Gareth can give me time of day, I'm doing something right.
The funny thing is, in the break before we started talking about this, I was telling Spencer about my favourite time with you, and it wasn't Ricky Hatton, which were massive halcyon days. You know, publicity like you've never known, front, middle and back in the papers at the time, and on TV and radio. But my favourite one ever was me, you and Clinton Woods in Portland, Oregon, when he fought Roy Jones Jr. And I saw, I think I was the only British journo out there for that one. And we walked around the streets every night chatting and eating. Do you remember?
Yeah. And honestly, Gareth, I cherish them moments because I've seen, you're one of the, I'm not just saying it, I'm not blowing smoke, because I'm on with two of my favourite guys.
Thank
in
you.
Punditry, journalism, on the front, because I don't want to start slagging people up, but I've just watched BBC final score, and I had to turn it off because I look at people like yourselves and I think I could listen to you two all day, but when the box ticking and just putting people on just for the sake of it, who haven't got the character and haven't got who haven't got the history that you two have got, when we get together, we could just talk forever. And I did the same when I had Paul Dempsey and Gareth Williams. Sorry, Gareth Williams. We were in the Grand Cayman in December when I put the first show on there. And we were sat around the breakfast table, and I'd be absolutely thrilled to be, and I'm going to do it with you two, just sharing stories, because we've all got a story. Yeah. But the great thing about us three is that we're not up our own backside. We've all been successful in his own right.
Is it not passion, like, Dennis? Is it not passion? Because this fella, I can't stop him on a Saturday night. No. And I'm the same. The passion is what it is. And that's why you're still in the sport. Spencer's got a story as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Dennis, I mean, we go back way, way, way back, don't we? And it's been like sort of like you've been in the game 30-odd years now. You're going as strong as ever, aren't you? I mean, like, you know, Fight Zone, you've built up this Fight Zone now, you're building that, and you're not just doing that. By the way, I know we got this first show that's live on the TalkSport Boxing YouTube channel next Thursday, that's the 6th, next Saturday, which is the 6th, April the 6th. I know we've got this big show coming up, and that's the first of many, but you're actually looking to go international as well, aren't you? You told me you're looking at Thailand, Grand Cayman, you're going all over the
place.
Can
I come on tour with you, please?
By the way, don't just say that. If you want to be there, I want Spencer there. And if Gareth Davies wants to be there, we're going to get you there.
In.
He's
interested now. He'd love that.
No, I'm telling you, I've got some good friends there. My pal builds, villas there. And I've got a good friend of mine, and we're all Sheffield Wednesday fans, by the way. but they're out there, and they're making a success of it. But they love the boxing. They've never had anything like this. So if I bring Gareth and Spencer, and Roy Jones is coming over there, by the way. Paul Dempsey's coming over. So we're just going to take over. Big Ron rung me up last week, Big Ron Atkinson. Dem, what you're up to? And I went, I don't know why. He went, have you got any more gigs for me? And I went, I'm going to Thailand in December. I'll have a bit of that. So he wants to come.
Yes.
We've got all our, you know, I'm here in the hotel in Jersey. We own a hotel in Jersey, and all our staff, they're coming. We're going to take a piece of Jersey. We're going to spread the word about Jersey in a place called Hua Hin in Thailand. It's a beautiful town, but we're going to do, which I'll reveal to you, not tonight. It's a different version of a tournament. And I want Roy, when Roy comes over, I've just been texting Roy Jones and backwards and forwards this week. He's coming over to Sheffield next week, and I would like him to talk to you both, and we will divulge this new, our version of this new tournament that we're going to do, and we're going to spread the word, and it's going to go global.
Well, that's where I was going to go right there when you said that, Dennis. Roy Jones Jr. is coming over. He's got a fighter, James Wilkins. He's actually fighting on your show next Saturday, which is great news for all the TalkSport viewers and listeners. You know, and Dave Allen's on the bill as well, isn't he? He's boxing on there as well. He's
Jake
still
Darnell,
going.
Yeah, Jake Darnell, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be fantastic. We've got to get the G-Man there as well. I mean, because then we've got the full show there, you know.
I just want to have the crack with you two. The boxing is just an add-on. I want to have the crack with you two.
Obviously, we're going to have great fun with you and these events going forward. As we say, Fight Zone's live on TalkSport from now on. What if you look back, and I've asked you this before, if you can pick some highlights from your time, what would they be at the moment, Dennis?
Obviously, you get the glamour of when you're trying to prove yourself. And I've like I said, I've done purse bids with Bob Arum, and I've shook hands with, and I've done deals with with Don King and come out unscathed and things like that. So you do test yourself as a promoter and as a negotiator. But what I feel is that I'm having to, like, I'm protecting my fighter, and as regards, I've got to get the best deal for him. So I've managed to do that. And like I said, being in the scrap metal and dealing with all sorts of characters stood me in good stead. So when I got the chance to promote Ricky Hatton, and then we broke America with him, that were fantastic. But I thought I'd got to do something different. And that's when I flew the England band over. I had my 15-year-old daughter at the time singing the national anthem.
I remember. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had Wayne Rooney carrying the belt. But I think my highlight, I suppose, there's a couple of them. And Roy will tell you this probably next week when he speaks to you, is that when I gate crashed the press conference when Roy Jones fought Glenn Kelly, and I flew me and Clinton over, I didn't know what I was going to do. And we sat at the front of the press conference, and he was Superman. Everybody was in awe of Roy Jones Jr. And at that time, and if he'd have retired when he beat John Ruiz, it'd have probably gone down as the best ever. But it carried on like a lot of fighters do. But during that time, just to get a word with Roy Jones, people were in awe. He used to fall at his knees. But
he was pound for pound number one at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. So I threw Clinton on the stage in Miami, and I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And I thought, I've got to try and make Clinton, make the fight for Clinton, because he got all the belts, so he could pick and choose who he defended against. And Clinton was the number one with the WBC. So I didn't know what we were going to do. And I just picked Clinton up with his, because he was wearing a suit at the time, and I'd asked him to take a suit over to Miami. Threw him on the stage, and I said, Roy, in my Yorkshire accent, Clinton Woods is here, he wants to fire you. And he went, come on, man, let me hear what you got to say. And he, Clinton, at this time, you used to have to nip him to get a sound out of him. And he went, Roy, I fought all the rest, and I beat the rest. Now I want to fight the best and beat the best. And then Roy come back, retorted, and he said, you're right about everything by the last bit. I'll fight you, man.
Oh, brilliant. And done.
And the next day in the New York Times, it said, Roy Jones has agreed to fight a UK fighter called Clinton Woods. They'd never heard of him. And that was the beginning how I made that fight. Obviously, there were a few hoops to jump through, but that's how I made that fight. So when we did go to Poland, and because I had Brad Jacobs come over to the UK, he looked at the Sheffield Arena and the Wembley Arena, and we looked at maybe doing it there. But then Nike sponsored the fight, and it ended up in Portland, Oregon, which is the home of, Beaverton. That's where the Nike was born, or that were their headquarters. And they sponsored the fight, and that's why it ended up in Poland. But it was a fantastic experience. And I remember I threw the towel after five rounds, because I thought, I'm not going to let Clinton take a beating like Gary Shaw did when he let Jeff Lacy fight Calzaghe. Mm. And I thought, and he were never the same. I thought, I'm not letting that happen to my man, because he were like my little brother. And so I threw the towel in. And I said to Clint, I remember walking out after we just got down the ring, I said, Clint, you okay? And crazily, he says, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Brilliant.
Great story. That was Clinton's character. So that's a great story. And then the other one highlight was involving Clint, obviously, again, because we'd come unstuck. I flew Clinton over to Philadelphia. I'd got Tim Witherspoon at the time. Mm-hmm. I'd met him through a mutual friend, and I got Clinton sparring in some of the, back alley sort of gyms, and he was the only white guy in the gyms, and they were queuing up to spar with him. But after a few days, after Clinton holding his own with all the kids, they got so much respect for him. And so I took him out of his comfort zone two or three times and helped him raise his level. And I did help Clinton earn more money than he probably would have with anybody else. And he's financially secure, which makes me feel great. But when he fought a kid called Rico Hoy for the IBF vacant title, that was in Sheffield, Rico Hoy was thought of, he could be the next Tommy Hearns. He were a big puncher, done prison for murder and stuff as a kid. And then Clinton just absolutely just
great
be coming to his own.
Yeah.
And it were amazing. So that was a big, big, big night for us because we just lost a mutual friend who died a few months earlier. So it meant so much to us, and we shared an amazing experience and memory, and that's probably the highlight, I think.
Dennis, one more question. Obviously, one of the things I want to point out is, and we've heard it right now, and this has just been 15 minutes of you, you're one of the great personalities in the sport as well, and one of the great hustlers in the way that we all hustle in this industry, I mean. At the moment, we've talked a lot tonight about the growth of heavyweight boxing right now, the investment from Saudi Arabia. Is that helping everyone in the sport at the moment? Because we're bubbling on it at the moment.
Yeah, I'm indifferent, Gareth, because I'm not feeling it. I'm not getting a piece of the action. But obviously, if I was, I'd love it. And I think there's places like Saudi Arabia, which had had a lot of bad press through the human rights and stuff like that. And we in this country, we've become too politically correct and all that. But you know, I think it's not a bad thing that sport brings so many people together.
Yeah.
During the troubles in Ireland, as you know, the Protestants and Catholics used to sit together watching the amateurs and then go out and go on different sides of the street and wanting to hurt each other. So sport does bring a lot of people together. And I think the Saudis venturing into sport, I don't think the football is going to work, I'll be honest with you, but I think boxing, it could be there to stay. I think they could be the Vegas of the Middle East, and giving a lot of Westerners, obviously mainly the Brits at the moment, because we're the top of the tree. We get giving them opportunities to earn a lot of money, but put massive shows on where sometimes the politics get in the middle. And would you have backed Eddie Hearn's being sat at side of Frank a few years ago? No chance.
Well, great stuff from Dennis Hobson there, and so complimentary about Spencer and myself, and he's been a pleasure to deal with and work with. Interesting news for the Boxing Water Control and the UK anti-doping this week, in which they won their appeal against the lifting of the suspension against Conor Benn. Many have said it's a victory for boxing, because the jurisdiction that Conor Benn won didn't include the strict liability for those two positive drugs tests. We've been all the way around the block and we're back at the front door. That's what Spencer and I spoke about. Conor Benn's hopes of fighting in the UK were dealt a blow as the Boxing Water Control and UCAD, the UK Anti-Doping Agency, won their appeal against the resurrection of his career. The suspension against him was lifted back in July last year, I believe.
Yep.
It's taken a very long time to come to fruition, but the National Anti-Doping Panel, the NADP, cleared Benn last week, I understand, in July last year, to resume boxing in the UK. And now, after the appeal from UCAD and the Boxing Water Control, they challenged the decision and they've been successful. What's unclear, Spencer, before we delve into this, let's do this with alacrity and clarity first of all. It's unclear, first of all, as much as this case has been, whether the suspension will be reimposed now after the appeal's outcome. Because the Boxing Water Control, even though this has now happened over a week ago, have made no comment.
Mm-hmm.
UCAD have made no comment. Conor Benn, I understand, I can reveal this, behind the scenes was about to do a couple of interviews. He hasn't done any in the end. No comment. Will Benn fight in the UK, in your view, anytime soon? Will he fight abroad anytime soon? Will he ever fight in the UK again? And we'll come to it finally, and I'll answer that. Is this a win for the Boxing Board of Control and the way boxing needs to do things when positive cases come to light?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I think to answer your question, will Conor Benn boxing in England anytime soon? I don't think he will. I think we're back to square one now, where it's now Conor Benn, strict liability. You now have to present yourself to the British Boxing Board of Control, which they've been asking you to do. Present your evidence. You're saying you've got scientific proof and various other reasons why you didn't get, you know, why it was contamination or why it was in your system falsely. Well, now's the time, my friend, to present that evidence, because he needs to do that. You know, that's for the sake of boxing and for the sake of his own career.
Absolutely. Those two things are very important because, as you say, it's done a full square around the block and we're back at the same front door, aren't we?
Yes.
They won their case based on jurisdiction initially, but what they haven't done is what you just mentioned there is the strict liability of those things being in your system. So if you have the evidence that the tests were contaminated and they were wrong, bring them forward. You've been out for 18 months, even though you've had a couple of fights under American licenses, or an mm-hmm. American license, rather. He's had two fights in America, under Eddie Hearn, on DAZN. But really, and this is the key in all of this, he is a big name, he is a big star. The big fight out there is still Chris Eubank, in my view. And the problem is, unless they go unlicensed, unless Chris Eubank Jr. steps away from his British license and may never get one again if he fights Conor Benn unlicensed, that's the only way they're going to get around this. But I don't believe they should. I believe this is a victory for testing process, for the jurisdiction, sorry, the judicial situation around having drugs emerge in your body. We have to have strict liability.
Absolutely. Listen, Gareth, it's, you know, we know how big Conor Benn was, and he was a nation's sweetheart. People loved him, you know, like...
Outside the heavyweights, he was the biggest growing name.
Absolutely. His dad's a boxing legend. So now this grey cloud's happened, you know, his name's not particularly good at the moment. It's not respected at the moment because of the situation that's going on. You need to clear your name, my friend. And that's the only way that he does it is by presenting that evidence that he says, and he's been saying for a long time now that he's got. Well, just present it and get this done with and move on. If you can't do that, then, you know, it's only saying one thing, isn't it?
We're not putting the knives in here on Conor Benn tonight. We're just simply stating that situationally and pragmatically, if that appeal had not been won by the Boxing Board of Control and UCAD, it would have allowed... It was a victory for boxing in many ways.
Absolutely.
A victory for testing systems, because other people would have seen that as an opening through the door and might have ridden roughshod over the rules in the future.
It would have been chaotic.
So it's not about Conor in lots of ways.
Yeah.
It's about this whole... how the way this whole process has been handled. And you are right to say this. Go back, do strict liability, potentially take a retrospective ban if you have the evidence, but you have it inside you, and that was in you and it was a mistake. You've almost served the ban anyway in the UK, because I think he and Chris Eubank Jr. is still a massive fight in the UK. It was capable of being in a big stadium, in my view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally agree with you. It's still a huge fight, but, you know, he's never going to gain the respect from the public respect because of what he's gone through unless he clears that name. So, you know, if he's happy being the villain, fighting as the villain, and, you know, and it's a difficult situation because of, you know, the situation is that Conor Benn has failed two separate tests, and he needs to clear that name. Now,
regardless of someone else has made a mistake with the testing.
With jurisdiction and that getting lifted and them looking for loopholes in the system.
That's a very good word, loopholes.
Yeah, looking for loopholes in the system. Mm. Come on, mate. Forget the loopholes. Forget, like, going other ways around it. Prove your innocence. Let's move on. Prove your innocence. If you can't prove your innocence, take it like a man. Put your hands up and say, listen, I made a mistake. And that's where we're at with it, because I think it's just been dragging on for way too long, and it's sort of...
It's getting a bit embarrassing,
if I'm honest.
A year ago, before the shake-up of the heavyweight division, it was the biggest story in boxing. Mm. One of the big... It's the most obfuscated, confusing, and grey... kind of grey story. You call it smoke and mirrors. You've called it smoke and mirrors in the past. It may be that, it may be not. But the way it's been gone around for a very long time, and if you think October 2022, mm-hmm. we're in 2024 now,
yep.
That fight was going ahead
yeah.
4 days before... It was October the 8th, I think, 2022, the fight yep. with he and Chris Eubank. It was a massive fight. It was a sold-out O2 Arena, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It was going to be a very big event. We've gone round the houses with it. It's kind of disappeared in some ways because boxing has become very big again. There are bigger things to talk about. But it is a grey cloud at the moment. And it, it's got a bigger story. It's become a bigger story than Conor Benn.
Absolutely.
It's a story that is fundamental to the testing process. You're a man who's had a terrible injury boxing 26 years ago now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
We have to safeguard the integrity of fighters stepping into the ring on an equal playing field against other fighters and have a testing system. Otherwise, because if this ruling had gone the other way and they hadn't won the appeal, it would literally have said, take what you want because you can get away with it.
Totally agree. You know, the UKAD and the British Boxing Board of Control done the right thing by digging their heels in and saying, no, we're not accepting this. We're not accepting you finding loopholes in the system, lifting jurisdiction so that allows you to fight anywhere else. But what they were doing was they was getting this jurisdiction lifted, and by doing that they were saying, oh, Conor Benn's been cleared now. No, he'd never ever been cleared
on jurisdiction, cleared on street liability.
Absolutely. And Gareth, just quickly before you go to break, I say, yeah, listen, for the sake of boxing, clear your name.
Well, he fights in 2 weeks' time, headlining at the Manchester Arena. Zelfa Barrett meets Jordan Gill. Well, he headlines in 2 weeks' time at the Manchester Arena against Jordan Gill in a cracker of a super featherweight fight that may lead the winner to be a challenger for a world title. Zelfa Barrett joined us, Flash himself.
It's a big event for me. You know, headlining my city, you know, a place where I've seen Ricky Hatton, Scott Quigg, Andy Crawler, you know, fight a rampaster numerous times through my life. So to top my city in such a like a legendary place, you know, it's my everything. So yeah, this is my world title fight.
Absolutely, it is huge, and I think the winner of this goes on and they do possibly get that world title shot. You know, if you look at, you know, the last performance that Jordan Gill had against Michael Conlin, you know, a fight that was maybe he was maybe not expected to win there, and he went and won that one in 7 rounds, you know, it quite shocked a lot of people. And you just look at that and you go, that bounced him right back in there after that shock defeat, actually, by Kiko Martinez. So at this stage of your career, both of you guys, you're 30 years of age now, at this stage of your career, for both of you, it's a must win, because I think for the winner, you go on, world titles are well within your capabilities for both of you guys. I think you're both exceptional fighters. You're an exceptional talent, you really are. You fell short for the IBF title, but put up, you know, you was winning that fight up until the end. You proved that you belong in world level, but for the loser, it's going to be a tough road back.
Yeah, of course, you're right. You know, with that world title fight that I had against Rakimov, you know, I had like 5 week notice, and you know, I burst my eardrum in the fight as well. So, you know, I showed my capabilities and what I can do in such short notice too. So, you know, this I've had like a big, long, you know, 12 week camp. I'm always in the gym anyway, and you know, I don't see nothing but winning. I see myself fighting for a world title at the Manchester Arena. So, you know, Jordan Gill's a good fighter, but you know, there's only going to be one winner, man, and that's going to be me.
Is there, my understanding is that there is a world title shot on the line for the winner of this. It might be an eliminator. Is that right that Eddie Hearn's organised that?
Yeah, well, I've had a WBA check way, so I assume it's for some sort of world title eliminator.
Yeah, I mean, listen, but for both of you guys, like I said, like you're at that stage of your career where, you know, the winner hopefully goes on and the loser, it is a tougher road back for sure. But I mean, you've got great like ability, haven't you? Like you say, you fell short last time out, but you proved you belong in that world title. You belong in that world title level anyway. You proved that you belong there. But yeah, you've got great capabilities, man. This is a huge opportunity. What I wanted to ask you was, is there any history between you two? I mean, have you ever sparred before, anything like that?
Was meant to. So I remember seeing him at the Manchester Arena one time. And I hit him and said, yes, man, are you good? How are you doing? He's good. I think he just won one of his fights, I think. And he was like, yo, man, we need to get some sparring together. He's like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, we just never really got to spar. You know, we've been cool, see each other, show loads of respect every time we see each other, but she's never got that sparring. And, you know, I feel like when I beat Kiko, you know, when I won back a round or two, they must have thought, oh, Kiko's not that good. So when Jordan boxed him and got beat with him, it's shown how good I was, or I am, you know what I mean? And then when he beat when Kiko beat Kid Galahad, it just showed how good I was then. You know what I mean?
There's lots of great fights out there for you in this division. We'll come to how you're going to beat him in your mind and physicality in a moment, and Spencer will delve into that. But Lamont Roach is the WBA champion. Joe Cordina is the IBF, of course. And I think you're already, I think you're about 12 in with the IBF anyway. Lee Woods knocking around in the division. John O'Carroll. There's a lot of great fights there for you, aren't there?
Yeah, man, the division's stacked, so, you know, must-win fight. And then, you know, I believe I'm world level. I believe I'm on that level to call out them names, you know. And, you know, I believe I'm a world-class fighter. You know, I just need to win a world title, which I believe I will do. Then, you know, my name's in history and I can say that.
Do you need to make a statement against Jordan Gill on the night to then make that statement in the ring that you want those names?
You know, I kind of do, because for some reason it's Gil Barrett, but I'm like it's in my city, but and I'm walking out second. So I don't know. So I feel like I need to prove some sort of point. Like, I ain't nothing to be played with, really. And yeah, I do feel like I need to prove a point.
Do you know what, Self? Like, I'm just thinking about this as an ex-fighter, and I'm just thinking about the psychological side of things, and that's basically where I see this could come down to. You know, when the physicalities leave you both, when you get into the penultimate rounds, 10, 11, 12, and it's not about the physical side of things, it's about the mental strength and who comes through it. You're both at that stage of your career where you go, you've got to be prepared to go somewhere deep and dark, man. And that's what you have to do in the boxing ring, doesn't it? Like, are you prepared to go there is probably what I'm saying, because you know that that's a great possibility that it might happen.
Yeah, of course. You know, I've been in deep and dark waters through my life. So doing it against another man, that's my weight, ain't nothing to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to do that, you know, and I'm willing to show him them demons. He's been stopped by Kiko, a guy I beat. You get me? So I'm willing to prove to him that there's a reason why you've never boxed for a world title. There's a reason why you got to that level and you get stopped.
Flash,
you know,
flash, bell
flash,
rings.
No doubt.
Flash, bell rings. What happens?
Zappa Barrett win. Left up, right hand, right uppercut, left up to the body. Every single punch you can think of.
I love it. Your mind, the flash sprung open
didn't it? Do you know what it is? You go to bed thinking about your opponent, then, you wake up thinking about him. But exactly. There are times when you go to bed, you have this little thing where you sort of play that out. You see the shots that land, and you sound like you've been there, Zelfa.
Yo, listen, I've been in camp. I'm home alone now. I've not seen my kids overnight, like. I've been dreaming it, eating it, sleeping it, you know, going through what I need to go through in my head, you know, and only really focusing on me and what I've got to do. You know, some fighters, they can overthink and think about how good their opponent is. Listen, everyone's good at this level, but I need to focus on what I need to do, because I believe the best Zappa Barrett beats Jordan Gill. And that's what I really do believe. I believe I do everything better than him. Like, he's like a beat-it version of me. I'm fast, I'm strong. He's come to my weight, you know. So, you know, I'm not, Conlon's a good fighter, but I'm no Conlon, man. You know, I'm bigger than him. I'm stronger than him. So, you know, I've got all these advantages in my own head that I need to think about.
You've been listening to the Fight Night podcast. Don't forget to listen to all our shows. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to my show in the midweek with Adi Oladipo, to Spencer with Simon Jordan and Jim White on a Thursday, and of course our Fight Night show every Saturday night. You've been listening to Fight Night, the podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.